South Africans, good evening. We decided to delay the start of this address to the nation by half an hour because a legend of South African broadcasting, Miss Noxolo Grootboom, was tonight presenting her last isiXhosa bulletin at 7 p.m. on SABC News this evening. And many people felt that they wanted to watch her last bulletin and asked that we delay so that they can watch her. I wish to pay tribute to Ms. Grootboom as an outstanding journalist who throughout her 37 years of distinguished service brought historic events in our country and across the world into the living rooms of our nation. We wish Ms. Grootboom well and thank her for her many years of service. Sifunukuthi uphumule kamnandi uhlalwazi ukuthi abantu abaninzi apha eMzantsi Afrika bayakuthanda nam futhi ndiyakuthanda. It is now just over a year since we declared a national state of disaster in response to COVID-19 and had to introduce measures to contain its spread. Since then, we had to put up with restrictions on nearly every aspect of our lives as South Africans. What has perhaps been most difficult of all is how the pandemic has affected the social interactions that make us feel as a people to be part of a community. We miss the many things we once took for granted, like being able to visit our loved ones, go to a party, or to attend religious services. 1 year later, we have made significant progress in bringing the pandemic under control. The tireless efforts of our healthcare workers and many other frontline workers have saved many thousands of lives. And the pioneering work of our scientific community has led to significant advances in our understanding of this virus. Through the changes that we have all made to our personal behavior, we have protected ourselves. We have also protected our families and our communities. In South Africa, as in most countries around the world, we are not yet ready to return to normal life because of this virus. For the second year in a row, we will again have to limit our interactions, particularly during the Easter period. This is so because we are still in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic. Over the last year, the country has recorded more than 1.5 million cases of coronavirus, and there have been more than 52,000 recorded deaths from COVID-19. We remember and mourn each of those lives that we have lost. As I reported when I last addressed you, South Africa has emerged from a second wave of infections. For the past 2 weeks, the number of new cases has remained relatively stable at around 1,200 new cases per day. The number of hospitalizations is declining, as is the number of deaths. Our national recovery rate stands at slightly higher than 95%. This is thanks to the collective efforts of all South Africans who have abided by the restrictions that have been in place since March last year to protect the lives of South Africans. It is also a testament to the high degree of vigilance we have continued to observe as a country with regards to monitoring, testing, contact tracing, and preventative measures. At the same time, our national vaccine program has commenced and will be gaining momentum. In the middle of February, we began phase one of our vaccination program, which involves the vaccination of health workers. This phase is on track to be completed within 3 months. More than 250,000 health workers have to date received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine as part of the Sisonke trial. We have secured 11 million doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which we know to be effective against the dominant variants in our country. We've secured a further 20 million doses and are finalizing this agreement with Johnson & Johnson. So you could say it's in the bag. We are also finalizing an agreement for 20 million doses of the Pfizer vaccine, which requires 2 doses. This supply of vaccines will provide us with enough doses to vaccinate 41 million South Africans or people. We will make further announcements once these negotiations have been concluded in relation to just finalizing and dotting every I and crossing every T of the agreements. We are also in various stages of negotiations with the manufacturers of other vaccines such as Sinovac, Sinopharm, and Sputnik V. Some of these manufacturers are in the final stages of the approval process for use of their vaccines in South Africa. In addition to vaccine doses, we will receive directly through our agreements with manufacturers. We will also receive an allocation of vaccine doses through the African Union initiative that we established when we held the chairship of the African Union. Although there have been delays in securing vaccine supplies, we are still confident in achieving our vaccination targets. The demand for vaccines around the world has really become extremely competitive, but we are doing our very best to secure enough supply for the people of South Africa and the African continent. We have had to adapt to the changing nature of the virus and to emerging evidence about the effectiveness of different vaccines. We will ensure that we have sufficient doses of effective vaccines to reach population immunity in the shortest possible time. Phase two is scheduled to start in the middle of May. We believe that sufficient volumes from manufacturers will be arriving in the quantities as agreed in terms of our agreements with them. Under phase two, we hope to vaccinate more of our people over a 6-month period. In line with international best practice, we will be prioritizing those at the highest risk of hospitalization and death, such as people over 60 and people living with comorbidities. The second phase of the COVID-19 vaccination program aims to ensure that we will protect our communities, prevent health services from being overwhelmed, and reduce the need for lockdowns that seriously disrupt education, the economy, and each one of our lives. Registration to be vaccinated is scheduled to start in April. People will be encouraged to register online, but those without online access will be able to register in person. To ensure that we have supporting infrastructure, over 2,000 vaccination sites have been identified across the country. These include community clinics, pharmacies, general practitioners' rooms, retail outlets, and in some instances, larger facilities like stadiums and conference centers where these vaccination points will be set up. An electronic vaccination data system has been established to manage the vaccination rollout and direct people towards vaccination sites closest to where they live. This system will allow us to register, receive an appointment date and site, and receive a digital certificate or a hard copy confirming your vaccination status once vaccinated. Everyone who will be vaccinated will have to be registered on the system first, and you will be invited to register once you become eligible. We will work through provincial and district structures and community-based organizations to register those citizens who do not have access to technology. We're developing mechanisms to identify and register undocumented persons so that they too can be vaccinated. We remain committed to keeping the nation informed on every step in the vaccination rollout process. If there will be delays, people will be informed, and so we will be absolutely transparent so that there is never any doubt in anybody's mind about the process. As I've said in the past, this is the biggest and the most comprehensive process that we've ever had in the history of our country, where we'll be reaching more than 40 million people at one go. Yesterday, Deputy President David Mabuza, Minister of Health, Dr. Mkhize, and Acting Minister in the Presidency, Ms. Nchabeni, and I visited the Aspen manufacturing plant in the Eastern Cape, which will be involved in producing the Johnson & Johnson vaccines. We were well welcomed by Premier Mabuyane and his MECs. The plant we visited is a world-class vaccination manufacturing facility, which rates amongst the best in the world. This is a great achievement for South Africa, demonstrating our capabilities in advanced manufacturing. I wish to commend Aspen for having had the foresight to invest in this facility and for the speed with which they have gotten ready to begin production. More than half of the capacity of the plant, which will produce millions of doses a year, have been committed to Africa. Earlier this week, the African Vaccination Acquisition Task Team signed a procurement agreement on behalf of the African Union member states for 220 million doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. It has an option for an additional 180 million for all the countries on our continent. This agreement is significant for our continent, not only because it gives effect to our determination that no country should be left behind, but also because these vaccines will be produced right here on our continent. Greater collaboration between government, business, labor, and civil society is key to the success of the vaccine rollout. The private sector continues to play a key supporting role in the national effort. We are particularly encouraged by the commitment of the private healthcare sector to work with government to make the vaccine rollout a success, drawing on the immediate capabilities that we have developed in the sector. We are also grateful to numerous companies working through the Solidarity Fund to lend financial resources to the vaccine acquisition rollout. We want to commend the Vodacom Group and Vodafone Foundation, which have pledged 87 million rand in the African countries in which they operate for cold chain storage and the logistics for the COVID-19 vaccines to enable them to be delivered securely. In addition, Vodacom will be developing a state-of-the-art vaccine management platform across the AU member states following a successful rollout of the same platform here in South Africa. I do want to call on all our private sector partners to support this new phase in our fight against COVID-19. Fellow South Africans, in just a few days, the country will begin the annual Easter break. For many, this will be a welcome moment to pause and to rest, whether from work or from our studies and from the pressures of the last few months. Many of us have made plans for the upcoming long weekend. Some of us will be heading out of town. Others will be visiting friends and family. Many of us will be attending gatherings and celebrations in various places. For millions of people, this is also a time of religious observance. While the rate of transmission remains stable, we cannot let our guard down. This is a time when caution is needed more than ever. The reality is that greater movement of people, interprovincial travel, greater use of public transit and gatherings present a great risk of an increase in infections. Over the last few days, we have sought the advice of experts and consulted with representatives of provincial and local government on what measures should be put in place over the coming long weekend to prevent a new outbreak of infections. As part of the consultation process, we've also included our traditional leaders. We have considered several factors, including the presentations by religious community leaders on precautionary measures they have put in place for the anticipated gatherings. And in this regard, I'd like to congratulate them because they have put in place a number of very impressive precautionary measures. Given the relatively low transmission levels, we have decided to keep the country on coronavirus alert level 1. However, due to the specific circumstances of this period, we need to make a few adjustments. Some of the measures that will remain unchanged are the following. The curfew will be maintained from midnight to 4 a.m., so there is no change. Public recreational spaces such as beaches, parks, and dams will remain open. However, this will continue to be subject to the health protocols such as social distancing, mask wearing. Funerals remain restricted to a maximum of 100 and with a 2-hour limit on services. Interprovincial travel will still be permitted so people can travel between our provinces. However, I urge all South Africans to limit their travel as much as possible and to observe all necessary health protocols if they cannot avoid traveling. However, given the role of alcohol in fueling reckless behavior, we will put in place some restrictions over the Easter weekend. To this end, the sale of alcohol for off-site consumption will be prohibited this coming Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Just those 4 days. On-site sales of alcohol at restaurants, shebeens, and bars will be allowed. But this will be according to licensing conditions and also to the limitations of time up to 11 at night. The Easter weekend is a time of spiritual significance, and attending religious services is important to millions of our people. For Christians, congregational worship is an important part of celebrating Easter. The Jewish community is currently celebrating Passover, and the Muslim community will soon be starting the holy month of Ramadan. In recent weeks, we have held consultations with faith communities to find mutually beneficial solutions to the challenges of managing large crowds at religious services. Following this consultation, it has been determined and decided that religious gatherings over this period will be restricted to a total number of 250 people indoors and 500 outdoors. This is an increase of the numbers that we have currently. Where the venue is too small to accommodate these numbers with appropriate social distancing, then no more than 50% of the capacity of the venue may be used. Congregants should not gather outside their usual places of worship, and people must go home and not sleep over after services, which is what often happens in non-COVID times. I want to express once again my gratitude to the leadership of the faith community who have engaged positively with us as government. There is a common appreciation that we must do all we can to support our people to exercise their religious freedom and keep our country safe. With respect to other gatherings, these will also be restricted to a maximum number of 250 people indoors and 500 outdoors. As before, where the venue is too small to accommodate these numbers with appropriate social distancing, then no more than 50% of the capacity of the venue may be used. We continue to urge all South Africans to avoid gatherings if they are in a vulnerable group, such as the elderly and those with comorbidities. We also urge that gatherings should take place in outdoor venues, which are significantly safer than gatherings indoors. We will review these measures that I've just outlined on the size of gatherings within the next 15 days based on an assessment on the state of the pandemic and the extent of compliance with health protocols. We continue to follow the principle that restrictions should not be more severe than is necessary to contain the spread of the virus. And we continue to be guided by data on the epidemiological situation and by expert advice and wide consultations with social partners. So there are quite a number of safety measures and safeguards, if you like. We will closely monitor the situation and will respond swiftly to any signs of a resurge of the virus. So fellow South Africans, this pandemic is still very much with us. We must act with caution, not just this coming weekend, but in the days and the weeks and months ahead. We do not know when the virus will be behind us, but we all know what must be done. We know that wearing a mask in public at all times it's very important and life-saving, and I'm pleased to say that wherever I go, I now see many of our people continuing to wear masks. This is commendable. And I also see that a number of our people continue to wash hands, and many places around the country have sanitizing spots where people can wash their hands. And we must continue to observe social distancing, and this is important to prevent the spread of the virus. And wherever we are, let us try and see if we are at a sufficient distance from the next person. And if possible, we must continue to avoid crowds. Because these measures are still the most effective way of keeping the virus at bay. There was a wonderful report the other day at an international broadcasting TV station where they said South Africa has been able to bring the level of infections down largely because, as a nation, they have sought to observe all the health protocols that are being spread around the world. And I'd like to commend our people for continuing to observe these health protocols. They are important, and in a way they've become maybe second nature. We must see them as second nature. Any action that puts ourselves or others at risk must be avoided. The restrictions that are in place for our collective health and safety must be observed. Let us be a responsible nation that is forever aware of the presence of the virus. And let us remain at home wherever we can in small groups. Let us avoid being in large crowds and places with poor ventilation. And let us not go to funerals unless we are immediate family and not visit the homes of the bereaved. We all have a role in this great national effort to end COVID-19. And let us play our part. At this time, when the Easter message of hope, rebirth, and renewal finds expression in the lives of so many of us, let us please take care. May God continue to bless our beautiful country, South Africa, and also protect her outstanding and amazing people. I thank you.